Phil wouldn't look at me. We both knew who was going to tell his mother. Later that day, I bit the bullet and did the worst job that comes with the big chair. Afterward, I went down to the country way with Shirley, Huddy, Phil, and George Stankowski. I don't know about them, but I myself didn't pass go or collect $200. Old Sandy went directly to shit-faced. I only have two clear memories of that night. The first is of trying to explain to Shirley how weird the country way's jukeboxes were. How all the songs were the very ones you never thought of anymore until you saw their names again here. She didn't get it. My other memory is of going into the bathroom to throw up. After, while I was splashing cold water on my face, I looked at myself in one of the wavery steel mirrors, and I knew for sure that the getting-to-be-old face I saw looking back at me was no mistake. The mistake was believing that the 25-year-old guy who seemed to live in my brain was real. I remembered Huddy shouting, "Sandy, grab my hand," and then the two of us, Ned and I, had spilled out onto the pavement, safe with the rest of them. Thinking of that, I began to cry. Died unexpectedly. That shit is all right for the county American, but cops know the truth. We clean up the messes, and we always know the truth. Everyone not on duty went to the funeral, of course. He'd been one of us. When it was over, George Stankowski gave his mother and his two sisters a ride home, and I drove back to the barracks with Shirley. I asked her if she was going to the reception, what you call a wake, I guess, if you're Irish, and she shook her head. I hate those things. So we had a final cigarette out on the smoker's bench, idly watching the young trooper who was looking in at the Buick. He stood in that same legs-apart, goddamn the Democrats, did you hear the one about the traveling salesman pose that we all assumed when we looked into Shed B? The century had changed, but everything else was more or less the same. "It's so unfair," Shirley said. "A young man like that." "What are you talking about?" I asked her. "Eddie J. was in his late 40s, for God's sake, maybe even 50. I think his sisters are both in their 60s. His mother's almost 80. You know what I mean. He was too young to do that." "So was George Morgan," I said. "Was it?" She nodded toward Shed B. "I don't think so. Just his life. He made an honest effort to get sober, busted his ass. This was right after he bought Kurt's old Bel Air from Ned. Eddie always liked that car, you know, and Ned couldn't have it at Pitt anyway, not as a freshman. Would have just been sitting there in his driveway. And Ned needed the money. Going off to college from a single-parent home, every penny. So when Eddie asked him, he said, 'Okay, sure.' Eddie paid $3,500. "32," Shirley said with the assurance of one who really knows. 32, 35, whatever. "The point is, I think Eddie saw getting it as a new leaf he was supposed to turn over. He quit going to the tap. I think he started going to AA meetings instead. That was the good part. For Eddie, the good part lasted about 2 years.